Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending where you're on this present moment. This is Eric Castillo here for another beautiful episode of the Infinite Talks podcast. And today I have a special guest, Mr. Gabriel Garza, a local entrepreneur and a local DNA vintage vibes. This guy's been the OG on vintage clothing, experimenting out different frequencies with this clothing brand, or not the clothing brand, but I was just like sharing the vibe with the vintage and making sure that Laredo is always well dressed in all kinds of fashion, the latest. And man, this guy, you come in the shop, you're gonna see like all kinds of cool vibes here, man, from you know, vintage clothing to vintage apparel, what do you call it, furniture. From dude, you come in here, it's a vibe. And then not only that, but you get to talk to Gabriel about some really cool stuff. Always got something cool going on, bro. So what's up, brother?
What's going on, Eric? Good to be on the show.
Yeah. We're sharing a mic today, guys.
Yeah, we're sharing a mic. Yeah, you come into the shop, we have a lot of antique furniture. So
antique furniture, yeah. The clothing, just dude, everything. Like last time I think you had the stereos and shit.
Yeah.
That's all they're cool.
Bro. Yeah. We got rid of the posters. I don't know, we just felt like the banners were a little bit cooler. And we're getting more into framed stuff like that.
Yeah.
Godfather framed and just, you know, leveling up a little
the
bit.
The cameras, bro. Like, I always love seeing the cameras.
And yeah. Stuff like that. So that's like my tour of the media.
Yeah.
So it. As you can see, I got like the vintage TV, I got, like the vintage radio, the vintage coffee grinder. And then
that's like a real one?
Yeah, that's a real vintage coffee grinder. Yeah. And it's like vintage cameras. And then just like miscellaneous stuff.
You got the Godfather room?
Yeah.
That's badass, dude.
Yeah. It's crazy how like almost all of that stuff now is like obsolete.
I know, man.
Look how much space it used to take up. It took up
now
so much space.
Now you have everything in one freaking phone. Dude, and then like you have also Moon Lane Coffee, bro. Shout out to the Moon Lane. Yeah, you guys always like you and your partner's kicks and Mr. Kozama?
Louis.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you guys are rocking it, bro, with all the coffee stuff that you got there. Every time I go there, I get my Americano. You know, I can't choose anything else because everything has sugar, but I go to the Americano, bro, and it's always popping, bro. Con madre.
We're doing matcha now.
You doing matcha? I gotta try matcha for sure.
We're trying it out. Just a lot of people wanted it.
Dude, it's becoming like I go to my office, bro, and I see people arriving with their matcha drinks. Obviously they're from different places. Like I think Starbucks has their own and then like that new one, what's it called? Seven Brew have their own. But now you guys have it too. So shit, y'all come to Moon Lane, go support that, bro. Local coffee, local community coffee shop, bro. And then also the vibes of there are awesome, bro. Every time I get there, either Kix is there, you're there, or Kix sister's there. And then y'all have some badass music playing, like some really jazz something vintage. And it goes with the vibe, bro. It just has the same vibe. So
yeah
man. So and what else is going on, brother? And Black Betty's back and running.
Yeah, cars, mechanic work. Yeah,
you said it, you had it down for a while. Or?
Yeah, so that truck was originally my family's like roofing truck, and then I guess throughout the years, when my brother he got a job in San Antonio, my little brother he didn't have a car, so I was
Gibbs.
So I was like, you know what, take my car. I just paid it off, you know,
the black car.
Yeah, it was like an SUV. Yeah. I don't know if you ever saw it. I had like a black SUV. SUV, right? It was a Captiva, so it's like a small, like a Blazer.
Like a Blazer.
I think it's like a Chevy Blazer. And I was like, I'm going to finally fix the project truck. And I've been trying, you know, just time, but expertise.
I saw her and I was like, hey, Black Betty, I didn't see her in a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd seen her, but not moving.
Yeah.
And I saw stuff in the back.
She hasn't moved. She's been parked like a month there. That's why she has all that trash. I need to take her to the dump. But I like working on cars, you know, getting to know. We always talk about the apocalypse. Like, if the apocalypse is going to happen, like, what will we do? You know, it's like, there's no mechanic in the apocalypse. You got to fix your own car.
For real. I don't think I can fix my car.
I can't either. I hope if the apocalypse happens, there's like a YouTube archive that stays online.
Bro, how would you get to YouTube if there's no internet, you know?
Right? Yeah. I feel like that's what they're probably working on, but not telling us.
I'm probably like
a crazy database.
Like encyclopedias and shit. And mm-hmm. Like, hey, if something goes down, like, at least I have this information right here, bro. Porque ya sabes, like, shit. If the internet goes down, like, you're screwed, bro.
Yeah, we should have, like, a handbook, right?
We should.
Of everything we know.
There's, like, on TikTok, they sell, like, this, like, a herbal remedies book.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking dope, bro. Like, it has, like, all the shit. Like, let's say you got sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look in there, like, oh, because I have a cough or a runny nose. And, like, let's say there's no, like, medications available during the apocalypse and shit. It's like, you go, oh, like, I need this plant. And you can look for it, and it'll, like, have a description of it, a picture of it, and then what it's good for. I have one that my grandma donated, not to me. Actually, she gave it to my cousin Herman before she passed away. And then Herman, he's like, hey, bro, I think you would love this book. It's two books, or two volumes. And then, dude, it has all the plants in Spanish, though. It tells you in Spanish, and it tells you exactly what they're good for. Like, and it's an old-ass book, but probably from the 80s or 90s. So the pictures, like you can see, like, vintage, you know? So
yeah, it's a little dated.
And then, like, dude, on that anyway, it tells you, like, everything, what it's good for.
Did you tell you where to find it? Like, what regions, like?
Oh, yeah. It tells you where it's, like, those plants are from, yeah. Yeah, I thought you meant, like, the book, yeah, but no. It's not from that anyway, so. You're always thinking about shit.
Knowledge, yeah. I'm always thinking of, Yeah, I've been going on my, like, diet journey also, and my fitness journey, and it's been tough. I feel like the hardest one is sugar, bro. Just not knowing how much sugar we consume. And
I'm telling you, bro, that's why I stay away from the sugary drinks, man.
Yeah. I mean, they're sugar-free, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But even then, like, you drink the sugar-free, like, it has a, like,
The artificial sweeteners. That's the topic of conversation this week.
Where?
Because the gym. Yeah, the gym. All the gym bros are like, nah, it's okay, artificial sweetener. And you watch all the influencers, and they're like, oh, artificial sweetener. But I'm like, I don't know. There's not enough research on it just quite yet.
Honestly, I can speak from experience. But when I take it, like when I use artificial sweeteners on my coffee or I drink like Diet Cokes and shit like that way, I notice a decline in memory. But not like long-term memory. More like when you're using like short-term memory. Like, what was I thinking, man? Shit like that. And when I'm like, I'm off of that shit, my memories works a lot better. Like I can think on my feet. I can resolve like little problems and shit. Like coordinate
your
my
critical
calendar.
Thinking.
My critical thinking, like my calendar, I can actually visualize it and shit.
Mm.
And then the C-way is that. It's
hard. That's what I'm sure.
But you're what? You're 29, going to be 30?
I'm going to be 29.
So that could not. You're going to be 29.
Yeah.
This year.
This in August, so 4 months. Ooh,
fuck. Summer days, though.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, it's my last year of being 20, and then after that, it's like, welcome to 30s. Like.
Nah, but anyway, you're good, dude. I'm 45, we're going to be 46 this year, away. So you're a freaking baby when you're
old. Yeah, I know, it's like, all my, I don't want to say peers, but people I hang out the most with tell me that, but then the customers tell me something else, it's like, man. Like,
say,
no, just old head, you know.
Oh, okay, all because head, you have a lot of young customer base?
Yeah, you know, 15, 16, like the coffee shop in here, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids.
That's good, because like that's gonna be your like your frequent customers that come like when they're older. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So they're usually
telling they make like, me feel old. Yeah, like you're born in the 1900s, and it's like oh
shit. Imagine me, bro. I'll be like a great grandfather to these people, man.
Well, I mean, look at the calendar. I mean, I wonder if any of us are gonna see 2100.
Oh shit.
Because my brother was born in the year 2000, so I tell him, you'd have to be 100 years old
to get there.
Like, if you reach that, that's a cool milestone. For us, people born before the 2000s, I don't know if we're going to see
I was born in 78, bro.
Right, so imagine if you see 2000.
22 years before I get to see that, you know. Like,
yeah, but you saw the millennium. That's pretty cool. I mean, I saw it too, but I was too little to, like.
You were born in what year?
95.
You born 95?
Yeah,
bro?
I was 5 years old in the millennium.
One of the greatest years in hip-hop, bro. You're born in one of the greatest years in hip-hop.
And everything in general, peak pop culture, how do you call it, before mass popularity took over subgenres.
Yeah, for sure, man. Before everything was like one big genre, like a huge genre.
Like, well, like everyone had subcultures.
Yeah.
And now they kind of just mashed all subcultures, and it's just
one fucking
mass thing. Yeah, mass culture, aka the internet. But
bro, but yeah, dude, like 95 to like 99, there were like, it was 4 or 5 years, like from 2000, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like the longest 5 years in any ever? Decade, bro. I remember like being a junior in high school, 95. That year was the longest year of my life, bro. I saw so much shit. I played football. It was crazy. Like, I played varsity football for the South. Hey, what's up? Shout out to the South Panthers. all my homies from back in the days. And that year, dude, it was just the longest year, but it was a good year. Yeah.
Who won that year? Rockets?
I think the Rockets won.
Did you like the Rockets? Or you were still riding that shy.
I was always a Chi-Town boy. I was a Chi-Town fan. I grew up with Jordan, bro. So,
who'd they lose to? They lost to Shaq, right? And Shaq went to go play Hakeem.
No, but actually, Houston was a good team, bro, because they had a Hakeem, right? They had a. Oh, you're talking about Jordan and them when they lost?
Yeah, didn't they lose in the conference finals?
We lost against
without Jordan,
Shaq
right?
and Penny.
Y'all lost to them, right?
Yeah, we did have Jordan.
He came in super late, right? That's when he came in super late.
That's when
late.
He came in 95, after out of retirement, and then
they lost in the conference finals.
Lost in the conference finals. and then we didn't get to. I don't know exactly what it was, the conference finals or the semifinal, but it was within that. Like, they didn't get too far, you know. But everybody was excited to see Jordan back in the game.
Yeah.
But then Houston was just dominating at that point.
And did that affect the game, like, there at South, like, the way y'all played? Because, like, you know, with basketball? my generation, ever since Curry started shooting from a half point, everyone was shooting. Was it different back then? Like,
oh, yeah.
Were y'all, like, in the post? Like,
no, everybody was post and driving in, bro. Everybody wanted to post and drive in and, like, wanted to do kind of Jordan antics and, like, be like Iverson and shit.
Yeah.
Because Iverson was just barely coming up
to him, man.
So,
because he was like 6 foot, 6'1",
6'1",
guard, bro, just crossing everyone up.
Crossing over.
I mean, opening the door for Curry, right? Opening.
And then he had like a crazy shot too. With Iverson.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I only see Kyrie coming close to Iverson.
It was so beautiful watching them play. Where, like, when Iverson was coming up with it, like, Iverson was like, he changed the game because he saw like the small guard mm-hmm. be like a beast and not just the point guard, you know?
Right. Did you see his documentary about his life?
No, I haven't seen
it. It's good, yeah. He almost went to prison for murder in high school.
I know some of his past, though, because mm-hmm. when he was coming up in ESPN, they would always put, like, his bullshit, everything that he did.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this kid, he's going to get drafted by, like, the 76ers or whatever, and mm-hmm. but he has all this drama from high school and college, and everybody was like, it's a loose cannon, man. I don't know if we should get him. But, I mean, I just kept up with him since rookie year, bro. I was like, this guy's fucking amazing. I bought his first shoes and everything.
Yeah, were they Reeboks?
The Reeboks, bro.
The Reeboks,
right? They have the little, what do you call that? Like the hexagon in the back?
Mm-hmm.
Like the bubble?
It's hexagon? Like a hologram bubble, yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful, man. I had the blue tip. That was my first year out of high school. And I play at the rec. Not the rec. What do you call it? The Intramural Basketball League in LC, Laredo College. Laredo Community College.
Was it LCC back then?
LCC.
It was LCC?
Yeah, so it was fun. They're wearing those shoes and playing ball. Like, I thought it was Iverson, bro. Like, I'm doing all kind of crazy. I was inspired by him, bro. Him and Jordan, yeah.
I remember Iverson in the 2000 finals versus the Lakers. Jeez. And he crosses up Tyronn Lue, and then he just steps over him. I was a kid. I remember watching that live because my uncles were Lakers fans.
Dude, you're 5 years old, right?
Yeah. Was it? No, it was 2001. I think it was 2001.
You're six.
I was like six. But I was in San Antonio.
You're about to be six.
Yeah.
Because we played the playoffs that year, the summer, before the August.
Yeah. And, yeah, I remember that because Iverson was the league MVP and Kobe and Shaq. And everyone's like, what's going to happen? And then it was, I think it was game one or game two. They were in L.A. And then he crosses that guy up in the corner, Tyronn Lue. He crosses him up in the corner.
Falls, right?
Yeah, and then he just steps over. And I remember everyone just like, no. And I think they won that game. They won that game. But
that, I think that was the only one.
That was the only one they won. Yeah, because my uncle was a huge Shaq fan. He loved Shaq. He was like, nah, Shaq's not going to let any. Yeah, but I mean, it goes to show you Iverson.
Kobe was there too, right?
Yeah.
Early years.
Yeah.
He was maybe like a 4 year, 5 year veteran.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about Kobe. He's like now becoming my favorite basketball player. Oh, for real, but behind Jordan, you don't really realize what you got until you lose it. Everyone talking about him being a ball hog and all that. Now that, you know, he's passed, it's kind of like, man, those are not even.
No way. And then, like, now they're showing, like, a lot of his background shit, like, when he actually worked out his ass mm-hmm. off, like, he was determined, disciplined. And before I had that same like vibe going, just the way, come on, nah, he wasn't my favorite because he was copying everything Jordan did,
right?
But why not, bro? Like, if you can do it and actually replicate it and do it better, you're using somebody's blueprint to become the best, right? You know, so at that point, though, I saw like, nah, it's Kobe, he's just like copycat, you know, like, eh.
Right, there was a lot of heat around Kobe,
like, why don't you just become your own self, you know? But then I forgot, like when I see his trajectory, bro, like how fucking dominant he was, how he came back from adversity, from all that drama he had, mm-hmm. you know, in his first few years.
And then with Pau Gasol, learning Spanish. And then them conquering. I was in high school, so that was my high school run. So, like, for me, it's Tim Duncan and Kobe are my, like, goats.
Okay.
I love LeBron, don't get me wrong. I mean, he got
oh, yeah.
gentleman swept yesterday, you know, 4-1.
I saw that. and then.
But Kobe and Timmy, you know, if it wasn't Kobe in the finals, it was Timmy. And if it wasn't them two, it was Dirk. And that's why everyone's like, why are you a Mavs fan now? I'm like, dude, because the Mavs, like, when the Spurs weren't there, I mean, the Mavericks were there. I don't remember 06 with Shaq when they won that one. I remember. No. Yeah, Miami Heat.
Right?
Yeah. He left the Lakers. He went to Miami and proved.
He won
with Wade.
It was just him and Wade, or was it already the big three?
No, it wasn't the big three, but they had a lot of good people. Like,
they won, right?
They won against the Mavericks.
I kind of like, at that point, I was kind of like, not
really getting away from ball.
Getting away from all sports, bro. Like, I wasn't really.
So you don't remember the 2011 Mavericks one? run.
I saw Nowitzki, the Nowitzki one, right?
Yeah, but, when he won. That one was
wild. I wasn't into it. You know why, dude? Because, like, that's when I think Derrick Rose stopped or was, like, on his way out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Was he really? Like,
still... Well, he got injured in, I think, it was, like, 2012, 2013, if I remember.
So, I was kind of tuning out, bro. I wasn't into, like, back in the days.
Oh, so you were a Rose fan? Huh? You were a Derrick Rose fan?
I was a Derrick Rose fan. Yeah, because he was from the Bulls.
And he was from the shot.
Yeah, so much potential.
Bro. And he was from the shot. Do you remember when he dropped 50 points? Did you see that?
I remember.
And he was crying. He was crying at the end.
I remember that.
Yeah, so maybe like four years ago,
mm-hmm.
when he got traded from Chicago and he did like a little, he was bouncing around the league.
Yeah.
He had one random night where he dropped, I think it was like 55.
Who was he with, yeah?
I think it was Minnesota. Like with the Timberwolves. I think. It might have been with the Grizzlies.
And Derrick Rose is a...
And yeah, and he and everyone was like chanting MVP. He just started crying during the interview. It was pretty sweet.
You know what?
Sweet.
I think I heard about that. I see like after that, bro, I kind of like just tuned out of basketball. Like,
yeah. Like, well, I mean, you saw the 90s, which is one of the greatest.
That was like, I couldn't compare 90s to like all this bullshit that was going on. Like,
you should watch the playoffs. You should watch the playoffs now. It's pretty good, not gonna lie.
I actually haven't kept up, but I've seen clips of what's going on. So
like, yeah,
I mean, the Lakers got sweat, or not sweat, but like
kind of gentlemen sweat. They call it gentleman's sweat.
And then,
yeah. You haven't seen Anthony Edwards? The guy from, you need to watch Anthony Edwards. He's the next Jordan, bro. He even looks like Michael Jordan.
Who's he?
He's number 5 for the Timberwolves.
Oh, I've heard of him.
He plays just like Jordan,
bro. Is that the dude who won the dunking contest one time? Or not? Like 2 years ago?
I don't know if he did dunking contest. I know Aaron Gordon did for the Nuggets.
Okay.
No, Edwards, he looks just like Jordan. Like his face.
He looks.
That's the recurring joke. Like, is he one of Jordan's illegitimate kids? And he just swept Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Really? Yeah, the Timberwolves swept the Suns 4-0. Just
damn.
And he dunked on KD too. And he looks. And like, they showed
Jordan
it
Jordan style.
You know what? Here,
I gotta watch that.
I actually think I just shared it on. They did the side by side of him and Jordan.
Bro,
the one to the left is Jordan. See. You know, he even looks like Michael Jordan.
Holy shit, bro.
And then this was last night. That's Jordan on the left. Now it's him last night.
Oh, hell no, bro. This is like the same fucking dunk, bro.
Against the
everything. Sports. No, my way. That's got to be his kid, bro.
That's what everyone's saying. Like, that's got to be his illegitimate.
That's got to be like some one day when he was in Minnesota, like somewhere. not even Minnesota. I don't even know where this kid's from.
But yeah,
maybe do the mathematics, like, and the location. Jordan.
No, I think the internet has done that already.
Oh, real?
Yeah. Him and Jimmy Butler. You heard about Jimmy Butler?
Oh, for real?
He also looks just like
dude, Jimmy Butler, bro. I was like, I said Jordan.
Yeah, man. Right. His face, right? His face.
And then he plays awesome. And then he played with the Bulls, too. And
he played with the Bulls for a while.
I was like, dude, this guy could be the next Jordan. And he was playing amazing, too.
He was.
I kept up with a little bit of that, you know, what happened with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. You ever been to Chicago?
Okay, I was born there, bro.
I know, but did you have fond memories of growing up in Chicago,
yeah,
or
man.
Did y'all
like
we all bouncing?
Back I was and forth about 5 to 6 years old till I moved over here, and then we would go back every summer because my dad would still work over there. Mm-hmm. So I remember like just the neighborhood, bro. I remember the neighborhood. It was like a very I'm gonna give you an address. Nah, check it out. I still know the address, but I won't say it here. It's on Trumbull Street. We would go there, bro. Every fucking summer, and it was like a badass block because they would have block parties in mm-hmm. summer. So they would close out the blockway, and the whole hood, the whole block was doing carne asada, playing volleyball, playing basketball.
Right.
In the middle of the streetway. So it was awesome. Right? You would go outside and you go down the block and get whatever you want from anybody. Like they would give out carne, hot dogs, or whatever, you know.
Everyone was just giving out.
Everybody
stuff.
Was doing, hey, I'm doing my own thing. And it was like a July thing, bro, or like around that time. So every time we go see my dad, there was always a block party.
Yeah, summertime shop.
And I've never seen that in Laredo, to be honest. Never seen it in Laredo. Mm-hmm. Not like that.
Not like
that. We're just going to close the block, bro. We're going to have a party. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? And then I remember that a lot. And then the block was like very intermixed, where there's a lot of Hispanics. So there was like Puerto Ricanos, Cubanos, Polish, a lot of Polish people in that block, a lot of African Americans. And I had friends from all those, bro. Like I remember... I still remember Duke. Shout outs to Duke. Así no lo arrestaron al vato. Pero en Rotero.
Do you have like a favorite movie about Chicago? I just went through my Chicago movie binge. That's why.
No way.
Yeah,
bro.
That's why I wanted to talk to you about that. Yeah.
No, actually, I don't recall. You know what?
You don't have a favorite movie based
There's
in Chicago?
Movies that are based in Chicago, like, ¿cómo se llama este movie? It's one of like, the, it's an 80s movie, where.
The Untouchables?
No, it's not that one. It's like a funny comedy movie. I forgot what it was, but back in the 80s, I think it was John Candy, where it's a lot to, you know.
Okay.
I forgot what it was. Oh, and then like the movies, what's it called? The one, Home Alone.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah, with the big house. Yeah.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
based in
In
like
Chicago, right?
yeah, it's
Or
based in
it's based in
Chicago.
Chicago, but it's not recorded in Chicago, I
I don't
think.
know where it was recorded, but I know it's
I
based
saw
in
the behind the
Chicago.
scenes shit, like they had it in a fucking actual like warehouse where they set up the whole house and
Right, it was a
everything.
whole set.
The whole set, it was amazing, bro. Like, I don't know, I thought it was recorded in Chicago, bro. But
Yeah.
like some scenes were, but then there was like a home where they did all the scenes, you know,
Yeah.
actual scenes.
Yeah, because I'm watching, you know, Christopher Nolan?
Christopher Nolan, sound familiar.
He
Who's that
just did
guy?
Oppenheimer.
Okay, that guy? Okay.
So he also did the Batman movies.
He did the movies?
Yeah,
Or
he directed the movies.
okay,
Yeah.
okay.
Well, he wrote and direct, so essentially DC was like, we can give you the rights to use Batman and you can write your script as
But
long
this
as
is the actor or this
the
is the
director. The
director? Not
director.
the actor from the Oppenheimer. Or was it?
No,
No, not that guy.
not that guy. The director.
The director.
The
Okay.
director. Yeah, he did the Batman movies. So he had
Oh, okay,
like,
yes, he did the one in Chicago then, right?
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The
Yeah,
one
the
with
Dark Knight with the Joker,
yeah.
with Heath Ledger and them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I watched that one. And I was like, oh my God, like that's in Chicago. It's so nice. I started watching movies of, like, not about Chicago, but based in Chicago.
Dude, you're crazy, bro.
And
Like you get like a theme and then you go into it,
yeah,
right?
I go into it. I'm very,
Like you stick to that like that theme and you start watching
I try
stuff.
to.
But I because every time I talk to you, you say like stuff like that. Like, oh, I read something like this and then I started looking into it. And then
Right.
you like but you do like a thorough, like deep check,
Right.
you know?
Most times, I've never been to Chicago, so
You need to go, bro. I the last time I
I
went was
want to go
back
now.
the last time I went was back in 04 when I got super sick. I
How'd
never
you get
went.
sick?
If
It was cold or what?
we went in February, wait. Or actually it was no, we went in the beginning of April. You can have pinche Laredo tan caliente, it's gotta be hot over there. And I remember getting off the plane, bro, and it's just the fucking cool wind, like the Windy City, right?
Right, the Windy City.
Gotcha. And I was wearing just like a sports coat, like one of those. And it just hit me right in the chest, bro. And I was just like, dude, this is fucking cold. And I got really sick for like, even when we got back, bro, I was sick for like months. Like we got back like in like a week later, I was sick for like the whole time I was over there. I was sick, bro. We went out, we drank, whatever, ate like all kinds of food,
That's probably why.
and I in my low. Like I was
Yeah.
just, I was coughing and shit, had fucking fevers, and then I started drinking and it got worse, you know. So, but I got sick for like a whole 2 3 months,
So it
like
was just
just
like an
coughing,
intense
like.
cold. You got like an intense cold.
Yeah, and it was April, bro. So I was watching the
Oh yeah,
Cubs.
it's April right now.
I
Yeah.
was watching the Cubs game like a couple of days ago, and everybody's wearing beanies, fucking like the
Bundled up.
steam was coming out of their mouth and shit, and the players are wearing beanies and playing like baseball. And I was like, fuck, it's fucking still cold, bro. And I remember like, oh shit. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah, I
you
went
have to
to.
go, bro. You have to
Yeah,
check
I've
it
never
out.
been. I know everyone's telling me the summertime is the best time to go to
Yeah.
Chicago. Because I don't want to go into the cold. I'm sorry, I'm not the biggest
No
lover
way.
of the snow. I feel like when everyone in Laredo, we're all like, oh, like we wanted snow. And after that one freeze, remember where people actually died? We're just like, have you noticed
No.
no one in Laredo is now like wanting the
No.
cold? We're all just
Fuck
like,
no. Hell no. We
hell
want
no.
gold.
We're
No.
cool with the heat. But yeah, I saw that one, The Dark Knight with Nolan, and then I saw The Untouchables. It's directed by Brian De Palma.
This is the old film, though.
Yeah, from the 80s. It's from
I
the
need to see it
80s.
again. I saw it in the 80s. And I mean, not the 80s. Like early. It was late 80s,
I think it
no?
was late 80s,
Late
yeah,
80s.
like
Late, early
89
90s.
maybe, yeah.
And I remember seeing this movie. I think, ¿cómo se llama esta otra? The
The main guy is Kevin Costner,
Kevin Costner way.
and won an Academy Award supporting actor, which is Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, I
He
don't.
plays the old detective, like you wanna take on Capone or whatever, like
Yeah, I
he's the
need.
old cop, and then Sean Connery is the young guy.
Dude, my family that lives over there, they like, well, they're not my family, but they're like, I consider my cousins. Shout outs to the Felipe family, Olvera. Dude, they live in Cicero. And Cicero is like the old neighborhood where Al Capone used to live, bro. So that is a like old Italian neighborhood. Now it's a lot of Mexicanos there and like all kinds of raza. But at one point, that area was known as Al Capone's area, bro.
Right.
So like that neighborhood, all those streets right there, they're like.
Well, then that's the neighborhood they show in the movie. So yeah, in the movie they show everywhere where Al Capone lived and how high class it was, and he was just like
You should
a
go, man.
god.
You go to Cicero.
I don't I want to go. I think I heard about it.
Go to Cicero, but take like four bodyguards. But
Yeah.
yeah. You're like, okay,
Yeah.
I'm not going.
Oh yeah, I mean The Untouchables, it's one of those movies. It's because it's based in the 30s.
Yeah.
It goes to show you that since the 30s, Chicago was already a kind of, I don't want to say rough town, but a
Yeah,
town.
there was like a lot of crime in that sense of
Right.
where
Yeah.
Al Capone had the streets and like even the Valentine's Day massacre, you know,
Right,
happened
yeah.
there.
Well, in the Untouchables, they have a scene where he whacks someone with a baseball bat. Like, literally, they're, like, on a dinner, and he kills someone with a baseball bat.
Al Capone.
Al Capone. And that was based on a real thing he had did. Like, in front of it, like, his bosses, like, he killed someone with a baseball bat. Crazy. So, that yeah, that movie, it's pretty cool. Cause and it's Robert De Niro as Al Capone.
No
so,
way. Yeah, I gotta watch this movie again, bro.
It's crazy.
I saw it when I was younger, and I slightly recall, like, what has happened. Like, I just remember Kevin Costner was the main dude. And I think when you're younger, you don't appreciate that kind of like film because like you're like, oh, this is too much of a storyline. It's not.
Yeah, it's cops.
Like you know what? Like The Godfather way, I got into it like at an older age. I actually got it like the DVD series, like maybe like 6 years ago, and I actually sat down and watched every single because everybody would like talk about The Godfather and like
yeah,
it was always like a like this movie whatever. So I would actually sat down and watched it. And like, oh, okay, I fucking get it now. Like, I understand, like, the whole story now. Like, the Don Corleone, how it started from the beginning to the end, and the saga. And, like, that movie, The Untouchables, it does a little bit like that. Like, it's a slow, progressive movie, but it, like, it speeds up. So, as a kid, you're like, nombre, I want to see action all the time, you know? So, that's why I probably didn't tune in. But now they're just saying, actually, and I didn't even know it was based in Chicago. And obviously.
Oh, yeah. It's 100% shot in Chicago, too. So, there's still no CGI. So yeah, everything you see is like practical effects.
And I think really one of the first Batmans, like, even before, I want to say even before the one you're talking about, there's one that shot in Chicago. Right?
I think in the 80s. About the Tim Burton one, right? The one with
Michael Keaton? Michael Keaton. And you know why? You know why I remember it? Because I remember that year we went to Chicago, that summer. And it was like the biggest blockbuster movie of all time, And we went to go see it at the drive-in.
Nice.
It was my. I remember my dad took us because it was like the most everybody want to see. Like, dad, take us. And he actually took us, and I remember it was like we were sitting on top of the freaking cars. Like you would put it in the tuner,
right?
And then you could hear the audio. The audio from back in the day in Chapel, you know, because I mean, obviously the stereo we had, like it's just like the basic speakers, but we could hear from everybody's speakers all together, right? And we can watch the fucking film, bro. It was amazing. Like the smell of the popcorn. Out in the open field, and watching the movie was a pretty intense. I didn't get to see it like the way you get to see it, like when you're at home or in the theater, but the experience at the drive-in watching a movie of that caliber, bro. Like,
yeah, and then that was in Chicago.
In Chicago.
So yeah,
that just it was like off. I still remember the fucking clarity, bro. That was a badass fucking summer, man.
Yeah,
because it was like the icing on the cake on that summer. It was July the 4th weekend. We were there like fucking for all those like the fireworks, the fucking everything was amazing that freaking summer, bro. So I think it's summer in 89, right? Or no?
I mean, I think so. I think that's when it came out.
I think so, man. I can't remember exactly the year, but I remember it was the summer.
It might be 92.
92?
It might be 92.
Nah.
92 is too far out?
It's too far out. It has to be before that, bro.
Yeah. I think they made two Batman movies on Michael Keaton. And I think one of them came out in 92.
It might be
the one with the Riddler with Jim Carrey?
Yeah, not that
I think
one.
That one's 92. So nah, I think you're talking the first one.
I'm talking about the first one.
With Nicholson.
That Jack one was Nicholson. Fire as well, bro. It's one of my favorites, bro.
Mm-hmm.
From the Michael Keaton's. From the Batman series, I think that's one of my favorites. Because I think it just goes back to like my childhood.
Then I suggest you watching Dark Knight again.
Dude, I have the film, the one with Joker. Bro.
It's really good. So I literally just watched it 10 times because I put it on while I clean. And my Xbox, when it turns off, it doesn't pick the movie back up where you stopped.
Oh, shit.
It starts it from the beginning. So I was like, you know what? I love this movie. Fuck it. And after like so many times, I saw it like an accumulative 10 times in 1 week.
That's amazing, bro.
And it's Chicago. And there's scenes where like cars crash and they make miniatures because it's not CGI. It's not computer.
Yeah.
So it's like a miniature car.
Did you go like into like the behind the scenes?
Yeah. Yeah, easy. I started watching it. I was like, what the fuck? I would never thought that was a miniature.
Where did you look it up? In YouTube, bro?
No, they have it on the Blu-ray.
Oh, so you have... Oh,
okay. I have the Blu-ray.
Dude, yeah. I always like the director's cut.
Yeah.
And like the trailer. Not the trailer, but like the behind the scenes shit.
Right.
I'm always... Like, I love watching that instead of something filmed somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm on.
That's that. And you saw it like right now, like recently?
I saw it three weeks ago. Because last week I finished my Nolan. My Nolan thing started me into the Chicago, so I deviated. I started with Christopher Nolan, and then when I got to The Dark Knight, I was like, oh, Chicago. And I did a little detour because I have a lot of Chicago-based movies.
You have them?
Yeah, so it was like I saw The Untouchables, and then there's this movie with Clint Eastwood and Burt Reynolds. It's called City Heat. They're like two Clint Eastwood's like a.
It's a 70s movie?
It's from the 70s.
Oh, man. City. I got to see that fucking movie.
Right? It's cringe. It's cringe in the sense that it's a comedy, but like it's so serious tone. You're like, is this a is this a serious movie with outrageous, like Fast and Furious? Like, you know how?
Yeah.
But when you read it, it's like, oh, it's a comedy. I'm supposed to laugh. Like, there's a scene where Burt Reynolds, he's running, and there's a bunch of people shooting at him. He jumps behind a car, and then Clint Eastwood's there. And Clint Eastwood's like, oh, I'm going to handle it. And he goes, what are you going to do, walk down the street and shoot them? He's like,
yes.
And he just walks down the street, bang, bang, like so unrealistic. And I'm like, that's supposed to be funny, but I can see why. Because, you know, I read the reviews. Yeah. A lot of people don't like it.
Yeah.
Because of how unrealistic. But I'm like, it's supposed to be.
They were trying to do that.
And it's set in the 30s Chicago. Oh, shit. Yeah, the setting is 30s Chicago. So they're dressed up just like the Untouchables. Right? So I have this other movie that I've seen, but because of film school, it won Best Picture after The Godfather. So Godfather is 72. This one, I think it was. Oh, no, or before. 71. It's called The Sting. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's called The Sting. It's Robert Redford and Paul Newman. I don't know if you ever heard of those.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know those dudes. I know those dudes. They're from my generation. Like
they old school. Yeah. Yeah, they old school. Well, they won Best Picture, the Academy Award.
For which? The Sting?
The Sting. And that one's based 1930 Chicago. So I was like, you know what? I have it. I might as well finish off.
So you have those two movies?
I have those three movies. Yeah. The Untouchables, City Heat, and The Sting.
You have?
That's why I watched them.
But how did you get them? Wait? Like,
just collecting movies, yeah.
But did you actually, like, I want that movie? Or came into your hands?
Wait, yeah, the City Heat, I was like, I didn't know Clint Eastwood did a movie with Burt Reynolds. Like, you know, Clint Eastwood, very serious, like action movies. Burt Reynolds, Cagapalo. I was like, what the fuck?
With a big old mustache.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I remember about Burt Reynolds, bro. Fucking huge ass mustache.
Sex icon of the 70s. I can see why he was attractive to females.
Yeah.
That stash, like.
The big old hairy chest and shit.
But he's ripped. Like, people were ripped back then, yeah, naturally.
Naturally,
like, you had a six pack. Naturally, you had biceps. Like,
there was a different era, bro. Fucking different food, different routines. They were always outside, bro.
Yeah,
and now we're like always indoors eating fucking fatty foods.
So that's how I got that one. Untouchables, I already had it. And then The Sting, I had bought it because I was going through Best Pictures, you know, Oscars. So every time I would find like this won Best Picture, let me buy it. You know, it won Best Picture. So that's how I had it in my collection. So I was like, you know what? Let me watch it again. Now that I've seen all of these, you know, modern movies about Chicago, let me see an old school. Because I mean, 71 is pretty old.
It
blew my mind. So it's about con artists. Con men, well, they call them confident men. So con is short for confident.
I know.
Yeah, so it's about the original confident men in 1930 Chicago that they would rip off like people like Al Capone. Because who's Al Capone going to go to? The cops, you know? So they would set up as being like other. And it's really cool. Like and the special features on that disc, dude, they explain 1930 Chicago.
So this is you're talking about The Sting.
The Sting, yeah.
But it's also about Al Capone.
It's not about Al Capone.
This comes out in the story, though.
Not really. Al Capone like
I'm sorry.
An Al Capone like character.
Okay. So it's like a story that's similar to what happened in that era.
Yeah.
But so it's not Al Capone.
The main gist is that one of the characters he rips off. Like, you know what numbers are? Like, it's kind of like the lottery they used to play. You would like submit a number, and if your number hit, you would win the jackpot.
So
back then the mafia, that's how they would make a lot of money. Like everyone played the numbers. Like a sheet, then you would just put your number and kinda like playing the lottery and then you would pay. And then if you won, they would come back to you and be like, hey, you won the numbers. So but the mafia controlled it. You know what I mean? So in the beginning they steal, you know, the numbers or whatever, they steal the money. So the main gangster guy like puts a hit on them. So instead of them running and like, oh, we're gonna because one of their friends does get murdered, they're like, we're gonna con the main gangster dude. And he's looking for us. They're conning the guy who's trying to kill them. So the whole time, the guy's trying to kill the guy, but it's actually the guy that's conning him. But they do it in such a way where you're just like, wow. Like,
he never found out.
I don't know. He never finds out. But you can't do that. Like, in the special features, you can't do that today. They would make entire fake buildings, like from the ground level to the top. Like, oh, hi, welcome to the building. But everyone was in on the con. You give me, like, they had, like, 60 people on that, all fake, you know, fake. And in the movie, they show you, like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I do this. Oh, grab a suit, do this.
Holy shit.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, this is why it won Best Picture, because it's
real creative.
It's very, for the 70s, I mean, fuck, yeah. Especially in the movies, like, and I was like, man, all these other movies, it just blew them out of the water. And this one's from 71.
So 71, 72, 73, and then.
Yeah, I think that one was 71. City Heat was like 74, I think. And then Untouchables, I think, was like 88, 89. And then Nolan, obviously, was 2004. You know
what I love about that era of film? Because I remember like watching it a lot. Because they're like basic cable wave. You didn't have, mm-hmm. you know, back in the days, or watching the films on beta and shit like that. The way they were recorded, con las cameras, it had a different feel. Like, I don't think, even with AI and all that shit, you can't really recreate it, because it's really hard to get that vintage look.
Film.
Yeah. The film, like, the colors look different, right? Like, the burgundies look a little bit more different. The reds. A lot of those colors came out in the 70s when color television became, like, a thing. Yeah. Like, everybody had color television.
Technicolor.
And then the scenery, the music in the background is very, like, they were actually playing the music.
They had actual composers.
They
had actual composers for the whole.
And it sounds very different from a digital aspect, because like the digital, I don't know, for some reason, like, you can tell it's digital music. Right. But when it's vintage analog, you hear the sound in the music and it just impacts it a little bit different way. It's like, it creates more emotion. And then they're very critical on where to put the sound and the music and all that stuff. I guess it was an art form that's kind of like...
It is. That's why I believe cinema is the best art form, because you're combining so many elements of art into one.
And you wanted to go to film school, you said?
I wanted to, but I don't think I need to.
No.
I'm putting myself through my own film school.
Yeah?
But
And how are you doing that?
It's going good. I mean, I'm watching so many movies now. It's like I was telling my girlfriend, I was watching this one movie just to like pass time that I'd never seen. And halfway through the movie, I was like, damn it, that thought chapo. But then the twist happened. Oh. And I was like, oh, shit, wait, how much more does this movie have to go? Another hour and 15. I was like, wait, hold on. And I sat there and I was like, wow, okay. You learned something new. I'm over here being a film snob. But yeah, I know where this is going, but.
So you don't like it when you kind of predict what's going to happen in the movie?
I don't like when it fills in Hollywood tropes.
Like the traditional. Like
you kind of know where it's like, oh, here's this insecure kid. Oh, he's getting bullied. Oh, he's going to beat up his bully, and now he's no longer going to be insecure. Yeah. And the end of the movie. It's kind of like,
the cause and effect is too generic. Yeah.
Too generic, and it's unrealistic. It's kind of like, just generic. Like, I'm sure if you're like an English school teacher and you read your kids' essays, you can see like where it gets repetitive, and I'm pretty sure you can choose what kid, like, whoa, this is like...
Very creative.
Very creative, yeah. And it's the same with movies, which is why I say my own film school, I'm being very specific. Going back to the Chicago one, there's another movie. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Road to Perdition. It has Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I don't know which movie it is. I've never seen it, though.
Super good.
It's based out of Chicago, too?
1930 Chicago.
But it's recorded in present time, though.
It came out, I think, 2002. You ever heard of Sam Mendes? He's a film director. You ever heard of the movie American Beauty?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It won Best Picture in the year 2000. So 2 years later, he did Road to Perdition. So I was kind of like, he won Best, you know, Director in 2000. Let me see what he's got in this one, because it's 1930 Chicago. But his cinematographer, so cinematographer is a guy who like kind of chooses the way the look of the movie's gonna, you know, the director tells you what to do, which he works as a cinematographer. And what he would do is, I don't know if you know a little about photography, but you know, like exposure,
overexposure.
So since he came back from the film days, because he's very old, that was the last movie he did. He died before the movie came out, and won the Academy Award for Best Cinematographer. So that was his swan song of a movie.
Wow.
So the way he did some cinematography, he would overexpose, because he knew when they would send the film back, it would come back darker. So then it would get him his proper exposure. So now with modern technology, he would still do that, and it would give his movies
like a different feel.
Like
he overexposed because
he knew throughout editing and production, it would come back a little bit darker.
That's creative, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That takes me back to like when I was in LC taking a... not film, it was a photography,
yeah,
and we had to do like reveal like the actual picture from beginning to end, where like we had the film, take the picture, use the aperture to see how much exposure light, you want to get, light it out, and then go into the studio with the red light, get all the different liquids, put them in for several minutes at each time, and by trial and error way you start working. I wanted to come darker, you know how to do this.
Correct.
If you wanted to come out lighter, you need to do like a little bit less light, direct light when it's getting processed. Dude, it's a beautiful art form too. Where like,
that's why old school movies are better. That's what I was leading to.
Okay.
Where you were saying how they look different.
Yeah.
It's because back then those cinematographers and director of photographies, they knew because it was film.
It was actual film.
Like, so they knew what film stock. They knew that's why those movies look a little bit different.
It was so much work too.
Yes. Now, I mean, now obviously it's digital. More cost effective to just put on a computer, have someone color grade. You know, like we shot 80 different scenes in 80 different locations. Now on the computer, you could just color match them all.
And that's it.
But back then, you had to be switching in. You had to be switching film out, is... which is why everything looked a little bit. That's why when you saw like landscapes, like what I mean is like nature, uh-huh. it looked real because, well, fuck, there's a sun.
They had right, the real life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have to get now. It's like, we'll fix it in post, or yeah. we'll CGI in some whatever, yeah. you know. Or like you said, they just shoot it in the studio, and everything's yeah. artificial.
I mean, do you think that can be replicated still now in the day? Like let's say you want to make your own movie, bro. And you're like, you know what? I want to shoot it like if I was shooting back in the 50s, yeah. 60s, 70s. Right. Can I just do it like that with that equipment? Or you think it would be very hard to...
No, yeah. Christopher Nolan does it that way.
Oh, so that's the way he does it?
Yeah, that's the way Nolan does it. That's why he shoots with IMAX film. Yeah, he shoots it with IMAX film. So the last movie I just finished to just kind of close off my Nolan gap mm-hmm. was Inception. You ever seen?
Oh, yeah, I saw that movie. So he did, one of my favorite movies.
So he did. He wrote and directed Inception. He wrote it.
That was a crazy that movie. You got to watch it like several times.
Oh yeah, bro. I just saw it 5 times. Yeah, and I saw the special features. So basically, what they did is all the practical effects.
I have that movie too.
They did as much. Watch the special features. They did as much as they could practically, and then obviously they had to use CGI.
Yeah,
but. It was just a build on top of what was already there. Like, you know the scene where they're sitting and then, like, everything explodes?
Yeah.
They actually did that.
No way.
Like, he was actually sitting there, and they used air cannons, and the air cannons is what...
And then this slow motion...
And they shot it with old school film, right? So when they edited it, they would just edit in, like stuff just, like, flying in the background or whatever. But the main part of it was, like...
That's amazing.
Or, like, the scene where, like, the train... I don't know where they're driving. Then like a mm-hmm. random train comes in. Yeah. It was like a 18-wheeler, just disguised as a train.
Dude, I need to watch that movie again because that movie was like super ahead of its time. Way as far as like dimensions go, like going into dream states, subconscious.
Yeah. Well, there's an older movie. That's what I was telling you. I've been watching a lot of movies. 8 and a half. I feel like you. I feel like Jeff might know about it, but I feel like you and Jeff need to see 8 and a half.
It's called 8 and a half.
Eight and then like 1 half or whatever. It's by Federico Fellini.
Federico Fellini. Heard
it came out in the '60s. So essentially 8 and a half. He's the guy who plays him is a film director.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working on like a science fiction film, but he keeps going in and out of fever dreams. So there are some scenes where like he's dreaming, and then there's some scenes where he's awake. So like a lot of people and it's in black and white, right? It's obviously a black and white movie. So there's like a lot of forums online where everyone's like, well, what scenes are dreams and what scenes are real? Yeah. Right, because there's one scene. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but
8 and a half.
8 and a half by Federico Fellini.
You heard it here first, guys.
And then throughout the movie, because you know Italians in that era, they dressed in suits.
Suits.
So everyone's wearing suits. So when you watch Inception, I'm like, you motherfucker.
Kind of copy.
No, it's just old. You know, it's called there's a proper term. It's called being an artor, where you take influences from other artists and then you create like a new subgenre.
Yeah.
That's essentially like him, like Nolan, Tarantino. They do that a lot.
Yeah, Tarantino, I've seen.
That's why Tarantino, everyone's in suits. And I'm like, and he doesn't talk about it, but I tell everyone, I'm like, dude, after seeing 8 and a half, because I've seen that movie like 30 times, that's how good it is. I'm like, all these fucking directors got from this movie.
And they don't say shit. It's just like
some people do, like Scorsese, when you watch his interviews, he'll talk about 8 and a half.
So this is before Scorsese's time.
Oh, yeah, right? This is 60s.
So Scorsese took a lot of that influence.
Yeah, well, especially because they're both Italian, so. They became friends, but in that movie, he comes in and out of fever dreams, and the dreams are very intense. Like,
bro, I gotta watch this movie.
No, yeah, you have to watch it subbed. I mean, unless you speak like Italian,
I'm fluent.
Yeah, like as I watch it, I understand some of it because Italian is very similar to mm-hmm. Spanish, just with more Z's.
Yeah, I actually recently some lady said, oh, I speak Italian, and she was teaching us like different mm-hmm. words, and like, oh shit, that sounds very similar to Spanish, a lot of it, not entirely, but like similarities. Yeah.
So like
make out what they're saying.
Yeah, so like in that movie, to give you an example, there's one scene where he like enters a room and there's like 30 women in there, but they're all his lovers.
Oh shit.
And they're treating him like, oh yeah, like, como, yeah, all right. Like
yeah, yeah.
And they're like taking care of him or whatever, but like as long the scene goes, they start turning on him. You give
so
me
you start
like going, they start like dream. I hate you.
That's a dream. That's
and
a dream.
Then so I'm watching Inception, you know, and in Inception they're like, oh yeah, the longer you're in the dream, the more the people in the dream start turning against you. And I was like, you motherfucker, like
You, but
influence. Like, I'm not saying he copied.
No, but then,
but it's like direct influence.
The general public or like general viewer would not know that data, but you, because you're like a, you study.
I started studying it. Yeah, I started watching.
You're like, hey, wait, is it copycat?
Yo, and I'll tell you where I got that from. My dad. So like, I'm very blessed to have like a mom and dad who are really into movies, but very different. So like, I tell my dad, when's the last movie you saw in the movie theater? He's like, Jaws. I'm like, 74. The last time we went to the movie, he's like, the way he would put it is que. Ya no lo hacen como antes. Todo es copiado. Y no, ya no está grabado en locación. Like, it's not filmed on location anymore.
Cool, yeah, correct, correct.
Like, he doesn't like sets. Like, movies that's like a movie set, he's like, yeah, quítame eso. Or just, like, very, like, outlandish. And that. So that's why what drove me to watch old movies was like, what the fuck's my dad talking about?
So you started studying that. I wanted to see what it was actually referring to.
Like, because what my dad was referring to. Because
he was like, all right, let me see if I can, this movie recorded an actual scene, like in the actual setting and without any studio editing on that, right?
Kind of, yeah. So like example, like I remember when I was like really into Scarface, he's like, es copia. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, this is original. He's like, no, that's a fake. And he's like, don't fight with me. Like, you're watching a remake. That is not the original Scarface. And I was like, what are you talking? Look it up, 1937, original Scarface.
No, mames. You're putting me on right now, bro.
You know what I mean? And
I did like, not know that.
No, that's what I said, because my dad told me. I was like, no, dad, this is the original
Scarface. Hey, man, you're fucking lying to me. You're like, fucking lying to me, bro. You're fucking lying to me.
You know how Mexican dads can be. You know, they always try to, like,
upper hand you.
Like, well, not upper hand, but when you're a kid, you know, you kind of feel like they're, like, being mean. Like, oh, no, I started getting the Western. You're like, but why not, dad? You know, it was kind of like, like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's not even the original. So when I found out the original was from like 37,
I was so, like, but the script or the actual, even the
Whole script. But the thing is, Brian De Palma kind of, like I said, it's the auteur. It was his take on it. And if you watch the, you know the final scene of Scarface where he has like a shootout and he's wearing a suit?
Yeah.
So I went through my John Wayne binge last year.
John Wayne?
Yeah, I love John Wayne. He's my favorite.
Bro, I grew up watching a lot of his stuff, but. I very vaguely do I remember it.
Exactly. Yeah. Same here. So when I went through my thing, there's a movie called The Shootist. It's his last movie. In the movie, the cowboy has like colon cancer from riding the horse for so long. Oh, and in real life, John Wayne had real cancer. So he was kind of emulating. You know, it's one of those last movies where the actor was actually like playing himself in a sense. So in the end of that movie, not to like spoil it. He goes into like a bar. But since he knows he's going to die, you know, because he has cancer, he's like, fuck it, my last shootout. He goes in a tuxedo instead of as a cowboy.
Oh, shit.
So when he walks into the bar, he's wearing the tuxedo. And he ends up getting shot like 6 times, but he ends up killing everyone.
In Montana,
but then at the very end, right, you know, kid walks in like, oh, you did it. Like, he's awful. Like, yeah, but like he's about to die. Some dude comes around from behind the bar and shoots him behind the back with a shotgun.
So the Palma. The Palma.
And I was just like, Palma took John Wayne's last shootout in the tuxedo and then gave it to Scarface. Down to the shotgun in the back.
But that movie with John Wayne, was it called what?
The Shootist. It came out like in, I want to say like 70. No, like 69, 70.
Wow, John Wayne. Yeah, he's an old man. John Wayne, bro.
And that movie's like 80 years old.
Yeah, that guy was a pimp, bro. That guy was legit. I remember back in the, I grew up latter part of the 70s right to like early 80s, like I would watch all those films because that's all they would play on TV, bro. Like,
right. Yeah.
Because the like there was like 6, 7, 8 channels, right? And you would just see like hours of black and white television because there was already colored stuff, but not everything that was on the films or everything that was being produced was still like in black and white. Like a lot of the older recordings, they were just playing them all, were like replay. So you would see a lot of these films or reruns like, anyway, like I would experience that shit. Like even though it was like the only thing that was on at that point, it was interesting and it's entertaining. You know, like you're a little kid watching all this shit, like all the black and white shit.
Yeah. You know? So once you start putting the pieces together, it really opens your mind to what you realize is a good movie, and then what's just like, I'm not saying Scarface remake is a bad movie. It's an amazing movie because the director took a lot of different auteur elements.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm gonna make a badass movie, and he did. It's a badass movie. Damn. But I hate when people do that. And then they make a shitty movie. It's like, man, you use all these good components.
And you screwed it up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say screwed up, but like, they make it for a specific audience, which is like the mass audience.
Yeah.
And it's like
the niche. The niche.
Yeah.
It's como cuando, like, let's say back in the 90s, there was a badass hip hop song or 2000s, and it had a badass beat. And then it now comes a rapper from the 2022, 2023. You're like, oh, I'm going to make a remake of that song, but I'm going to use. Yeah. That sample, and I'm gonna use all these different like memorable
like ad libs
and I'm gonna add them into the song,
and then like it's gonna be my song.
Yeah.
But and then you're like, Ingawe, it's whack, like, or whatever. Like, it might be good, it might be whack, but you're taking a risk at that point because you're really like putting the bar out there.
That's the radio right now. You turn on the radio, it's just all remakes of.
I know, bro. I hardly ever listen to radio, but when I do, it's like, dude, I've heard that song before.
Yeah, it's all 80s. Have you noticed?
It's all 80s.
They're sampling a lot of stuff from the 80s. Yeah. Bro. But
man, that's also you go deep with all this stuff, bro.
I've been like, going deep this past year just because I've been really wanting to get into filmmaking.
You want to make a film?
I do, but I want to just like take my time with it. You know,
you really don't take too much time, bro. I want to see what you do, bro. I want to see what you do.
we talk, it's because like we have so many ideas. Like, you know,
I'll be an actor, bro. I'll be an actor. I'll be a somebody in the movie, bro. For real,
we want to do a western for sure. Westerns has been because I took a whole year to study westerns, and I was just like, well, like a lot of it's Texas history. On the border, you know, like, whoa, completely
didn't overlook. Were you the one that told me that at one point John Wayne was actually here shooting a movie? Mm-mm. Here in Central South Texas?
It's about, I think I was telling you that there was one that's about it. I think I was telling you about Red River.
That was about Laredo?
Kind of.
No?
Yeah, it was kind of like on the border. Like, a lot of his movies, they're on the frontier of the U.S.-Mexican border.
And this is like the era where like Texas became its own stuff.
Yeah, Texas was like it's just gotten into the Union, so Texas just became a state.
Yeah.
And that's like the Wild West era, which is like Civil War and post-Civil War.
So you want to kind of like do something within that realm?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I think. It's because like I said, back then they would shoot him in real life. So like when you watch Red River, he's running with 1,000 cows. There was an actual 1,000 fucking cows running in front of the camera.
Imagine.
And nowadays, studios are.
Hey, we're just CGI that shit.
Exactly. We're just going to CGI that shit. And that's where I get, I'm like, man, if we make a Western, like, where are we going to get a horse? Or where are we going to get multiple horses? You know, but like.
Like that.
Like that in that sense. But.
I mean, it's doable, bro.
It doesn't. Like, there's a lot of. That's why I started watching Westerns. Like, I like Googled Westerns that don't have horses. You should watch High Noon. High Noon's freaking good.
I've heard of that one. I think I've seen it.
Really good.
I think I saw it during the COVID, but I didn't see the whole entire movie. I saw like the latter part of the movie.
Yeah, it's black and white.
It's a black and white movie, right? It's in the like where they go into the bar at the end and also start shootout.
Kind of, yeah. It's basically he put away an outlaw and he just got married. Now he's about to leave, but the outlaw got out of jail and promised to come back and kill him at High Noon. So instead of like, you know, his wife is a Quaker, so she's like, let's just run. Like, and the town's like, we're not going to help you. That's your problem. But he's just kind of like, I got this last like loose end, like before I could do anything. So the whole movie is basically about him pleading for help and then no one helping him.
And then he has to do it on his own.
And he has to do it at the end.
Don't tell me they copied that for somebody.
No. And this is what I was thinking too. A lot of movies copy past that. High Noon tend to copy that premise of like looking out for help and not getting there. But
I love like when you come up with an original idea and it becomes like a really good story, bro. Yeah. Like a really good story. And that I think it is hard to do because if you're influenced somewhat by some idea, then even in that inadvertently you might be copying somebody else. Like, yeah, I wasn't trying to do that, but it came out like that. Like,
right.
But it was an influence of mine like a long time ago or whatever, you know. Like me, like in music, when I was doing beats, RZA was like a heavy influence in me. So a lot of my beats that I would do had that RZA vibe. I was like, ching, got it. I want to stay away from that, but that's the only thing I know.
Did you tell me with that Sal's Pizza and you said a Wu-Tang line one time and everyone fucking... I'll never forget that. I remember... Was it you?
Yeah, it was me. It was me and my brothers. Me, brother Rick, and Koki. Shout out to Jungle George.
And yo, wait, you spat a...
We did like a freestyle and... Was it my brother or somebody did like a Wu-Tang line? It was funny.
And everyone was like, you just
copied. It wasn't me though. I did a freestyle, but yeah, like, dude, that's pretty cool, man. Like that whole vibe, bro, like creating something from the beginning. Dude, and you should go into like really creating like I remember you did a commercial for Moon Lane and you did it in black and white.
Yeah.
And like that was a badass little commercial. You used to keep on playing that shit on Instagram Reels, bro.
Yeah, that was my French New Wave. I was getting into French New Wave.
Yeah.
I stopped just because, dude, I can't pay attention to subs. Like, I feel like such a North American.
Yeah.
I mean, with Federico Fellini, I had no problem just because his subject matter was so, you know, entertaining. And a lot of other French New Wave, it's a lot of romance, you know, like affairs. And I'm just kind of like after you watch, you know, like The Sting, like a full operation of dudes, like, you know, doing something to watch, you know, someone fight over an affair. It kind of just like goes over my head, especially in French.
But the style though.
But the style, exactly. The style is like, whoa.
You should do that again, bro. Or it just
add to that one, bro, because that one, it was like a 30 second clip.
Like 30 second, like me, the one where I'm sweeping, right?
Sweeping, and it, I love that vibe, bro. And I was like, dude, that's not as a, you're taking film into like a creative process to make a commercial.
Yeah.
And like it was not, and like at the same time you're promoting Moon Lane, at the same time you're promoting your artwork, and then at the same time you're like, it's a story. Yeah, you know, no, so I usually keep on doing that, bro. That's fucking fun, bro.
Yeah, I know. We want to. It's just running the two businesses sometimes just like, it's, you know, so sometimes, you know, everyone thinks it's fun and games, but it's, when your whole livelihood and your income depends on it, there's gets to a certain point where you're just locked in and it's like, this is work. And months go by. Yeah. That tripped me out. I remember like all my older family members, time flies. And when you're a teenager, you're like, man, I can't wait till I'm an adult. Once you're an adult, it's like years fly.
In a matter of
in a blink of an eye. It's like, oh, it's already the end of the year.
Like it's already like half a year.
It's tax season.
It's like, it's almost May. Tomorrow's May. And like honestly, bro, like we've it's crazy how fast it is, bro. Like honestly, that's very true. Like I remember when you were younger, like, nah, I want to be older and like pay bills and shit.
And it takes forever, right?
And take
summers lasted.
That's what I'm like telling you. Year. Back in 95, when 95 to 2000, it was the longest 5 years of my life. Like how come that is era, bro? And then like now, 2020 and 2024 is like what?
Yeah.
It's 4 years. It looks like it was just 2 years.
2 years. Yeah, because I graduated high school in 2013. So, you know, my 10-year anniversary came and passed. And I was like, damn, really? Like, 10 years since high school? What the fuck? That was...
Dude, but you've done so much. You've done so much in 10 years, bro.
Thanks.
Because, like, honestly, I met you, what, in 2017? 2018?
I think it was 18.
2018?
When I just opened the brick and mortar. Yeah, when I opened the brick and mortar. Yeah, 18.
Yeah. Dude, I remember meeting you. You're like, straight out of high school, 5 years later, like, making, like, business moves like that, bro. That was badass. And you're still doing it, bro.
Yeah.
I'll see you, man.
Thanks.
What is it called now?
Just my name, Val's Vintage Supply.
Val's Vintage Supply.
Yeah.
Why, what do you mean that's your name?
My middle name is Val, Valentin.
Valentin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that one, bro.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my
middle name. My middle name is Salvador.
Oh, cool. So, Sound Val.
Sound Val. What's nice, up? You ever want to team up? Nice. Let's do it.
Yeah. So, I do a lot of international clients. Yeah. They fly to South Texas. I mean, not just for me. I mean, now it's gotten so popular. Mm-hmm. They have like a whole route of people they buy off of. So
but your one is like the hotspots.
I was one of the original guys they were coming down to like buy from. And then it went from like, oh, I'll see you once a month, like once every 6 months to once every 3 months. And now it's like, hey, I'm seeing you
anyway,
every week.
But they're making bank on this shit, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's so popular. I think it's weird because I haven't lived abroad. I haven't really traveled other than Mexico.
Like you haven't lived in these places where actually resell this stuff?
Yeah. I don't know what their vision of Western culture is. What I know is from like my Japanese guys, when I talk to them and they're like, oh, like Western influence on Japan's like insane. You know, you look at historical Oppenheimer, you know, post, you know, nuke, you know, we wanted peace with each other and they adopted Western culture. Big time, you know? To them it was like, oh, US, like they collect old PE uniforms. I mean, they like cotton, you know, not the polyester ones. And I'm like, why? I mean, they don't answer me, but I think about it like, well, fuck. Their grandpa got blown up in 1940. They're in high school in 1950. They're looking at the United States, how we dress in the U.S., you know, PE gear, prep, and now...
They want to use it now.
They want to use that influence, you know. And so that's why vintage is so popular in Japan, because, you know, Western influence. Now, my buyers from England, you don't have some buyers from France. I don't know how Europeans look at us because my mom, you know, she lived in Europe 6 years, I think. And she always tells me that they hate Americans.
But they love our culture.
But right? I guess I'm assuming, you know, they fuck with, you know,
the vibes, the styles,
the vintage because they're buying so much of it. But I had a friend who just came back from Cambodia and he says that, you know, Cambodians, Vietnamese and Chinese don't give a fuck about Western culture. They're on their own thing. Wow. So,
but I Japanese guess, do.
Yes, they're obsessed with American.
Bro, even with they're obsessed USA. With like Mexican American culture, like the Latino
they have cholo respect. Vibe. Yes, because it's Western. It's California.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're more obsessed with Cali than
so like the cholo vibe, but the Western like the like Cali West cholos. Coast
yeah,
from
West
the Cali,
Coast, not Texas.
Yeah, Texas vibe. Texas cholos are different. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because they go from Cali, so what they'll do is they'll land in Houston, like grab a car. You know, all my international buyers do the Texas shopping and then fly from Houston to San Francisco, San Diego, you know, that like Bay Area, rent a car and then buy all along, you know, San Diego, to LA, you know, up to San Francisco.
That's their vibe, where that's what they do. And then that, they go,
yeah, and then they just fly back to Japan
from and Cali. They sell that shit over there.
Or the ones from England, they fly out of, I think, JFK.
Anyway, and they, I'm pretty sure they're making a killing, bro, to come all the way over here,
right?
And like, collect well, from you, yeah. And then like they probably like
from a lot of people
tenfold, yeah. Instead of tenfold at least. Yeah,
they just they call it, they just UPS it back, and then they just buy themselves back. Like that's the company's pickers. That's what I'm saying. Like before. Oh.
Part two.
Part two, yeah, we're talking international.
So yeah, international, Western influence into the style. So yeah, like that jacket and that shirt, bro. Like if you don't have the eye, you just come in here like, nah, it's a brown jacket or whatever. Like, nah. Like, but if you really look at it, like people from over there, like, dude, that's super, I want that. Because over there, people are going to want it. Like,
tremendous. Well, it's because they're more into the history. It's historical significance. I mean, I haven't talked to them about the war, but it's just so crazy to me that the people who were essentially quote unquote killing their grandfathers, they're now wearing their uniforms.
What? That's so wild to think about it.
You know what I mean? Because there's like 1940s Marine Corps like combat uniforms. So there's like combats and there's dress blues, right? You know about like the military?
No.
So the military, they have like their actual like combat uniforms, and then they have their dress uniforms. So like when they're stateside, formal attire. Yeah. So the formal stuff. There's a lot of it. No one wants it. Why is there a lot of it? Because they didn't take it to war, you know?
They
want the stuff that was in combat because you can't find the combat because in order for you to get that, you have to get it off someone who actually went to combat. So, like, 1940s, like, Marine Corps stuff, like, the Japanese, like, uniforms, the ones, like, the Marine Corps used when they went to Japan, very sought after. And only Japanese collector.
It's kind of like that green, too, right? Like, that green on the jacket?
This is 40s, but that's the dress blue.
They want the
uniform
that's same color and everything, but
it's,
not even
it's, well it's cotton. Yeah, see how this is wool?
Yeah,
that's for dressy, and then the combat ones are made out of cotton.
But they don't have like the camouflage, right? It's more like like a solid green.
The 50s has a frog camo. Yeah, the frog camo. But
the frog camo.
Yeah, expensive.
Expensive, bro.
Expensive. Yeah, like the regular, just like regular combat shirt with like the Eagle Globe and Anchor, you know the logo.
Yeah.
USMC in original 40s. From like Japanese.
How much does that go for?
Like 2,000, just the shirt.
If I find it, I'll get to you.
If I found it, yeah. Yeah, the last one I sold was for 1,200, but it's because it had a lot of blood on it.
No way, bro.
But we don't know if it was like from combat, you know.
It probably was.
It could have been, you know.
Probably was.
It was a good size, you know.
Medium, large?
No, it was a large, yeah. If you find like a small medium, they're worth like 800, 900 because, I mean, it's...
They're tiny.
It's tiny.
They're, like compared to the sizes now, yeah.
Yeah, size and condition matters for sure. The bigger the size, the better the condition.
Hey, y'all know anybody who wants to donate one to the Infinite Talks podcast or to Val's? Let me know, bro. I'll sell it and give out the money to a charity or something.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about it, who's going to give up their... Their grandpa's World War II uniform. But that
there's some people that don't know. Like, I just get like thrown away.
Yeah, hence why the price tag is so hefty on it. Because there's not a lot in existence, and the ones that are in existence, I mean,
they know
no one's just gonna give away their grandpa's World War II uniform.
Oh, bro,
because it's from World War II.
1940s, right?
But yeah, it ended in 45. So just do the math. Like,
I'm 45 years old right now, bro.
So that's big in Japan. You know that like big, like really big. Levi's to them is the epitome of American like denim, so that's why they're so obsessed.
Bro, I had
Levi's.
I had so many Levi jeans, like they were fucking amazing pants, jeans, and then I had like Tommy Hilfiger jeans, like the ones that first came out, and I threw them away, bro. Like,
yeah, as everyone does.
I'm sorry, bro. I hate you. Yeah. If I would have known about you like before you were born, anyway, gay, bro.
That's what everyone tells me. Everyone's just like, so what are you looking for? My like, old military uniforms, Levi's, and old PE sweatshirts. Like the ones they gave you in gym, and they're like, man, that's all the shit we threw. I'm like, and that's why it's worth money. Because there's not a lot of it. It's scarce. You know, it's rare.
Dude, you think like the modern like clothing that we have is ever going to become like vintage quality or not?
I don't know.
Because it's way different, right? Processed different?
It's processed different. It's because back then, like I said, it was made in USA. And that's why Japanese liked it.
So all of those shirts right there are made in USA?
Some of them are, some of them aren't. A few are replicas. I just have them for like so you can see what it was like to wear clothes back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I have, and the reason they started coming to the United States was because in the 90s, remember these guys have been doing this shit since the 90s, everything was still being made in the United States. So it wasn't so much, oh, let's go to Goodwill. It was like they would go to like the department stores, like, give me all your Levi's. because they were made in USA. The moment it wasn't made in USA anymore, I think it was my neck. The moment it wasn't made in USA anymore was the moment they had to start buying it used. You get me?
Okay, I guess.
And the reason one of the, my guys, he found Laredo was because, you know, with all the Western stores downtown, they found out about it through those Western stores.
The Western stores had a lot of shit. They were stockpiled.
Yeah, stockpiled. Like,
they had a lot of clothes that they've been there for years.
Oh, these are from the 80s and 90s, all made in USA.
Damelos.
Because they're no longer making clothing in the United States.
No way.
And they stopped making Levi's, for example, stopped.
They didn't know they had a gold mine.
They didn't know because no one cared about it.
That's what I'm saying. But they didn't know that they had quality freaking U.S.
made in
clothing. And they had stockpiled there. No se vendió nunca.
Yeah, en el centro. Some people still do.
Bro, I gotta go check out these stores.
I've tried. Yeah.
You find anything?
No, it's because like they're like, man, we have boxes of this stuff, but and like I'm not gonna go put out of the bodega for you to buy one or two. And it's like, well, how much you want? Oh, we're gonna charge you sticker price. Sticker price was still $50 back.
No
in the
way,
day.
Bro.
Well, it's because to them they don't care that it's vintage. To them it's inventory. You know.
They still wanna get rid of it.
Yeah, to them it's still business is business. But some Laredo guys, yeah, some thrifters, they've had some. Good.
Lucky finds.
Yeah, lucky finds, you know, downtown, just boxes of like old Levi's and stuff. Like, good for them. Hey, that's a good come up. Shit. And yeah, most of those go abroad, either, you know, Japan or Europe. Those are like the main two. I heard like Korea, they're getting up on it, but Japan are so obsessed
so
with Western culture.
They're flying over here, bro. They're flying right. Over to the United States. They're flying to Laredo. Or
to
driving
South Texas, Houston.
And I'm just saying, like, they're coming to the States, right? And they're finding these gems that we are like, whatever. But for them, it's gold.
Right. But, I mean, for us, too, like, I haven't met someone in the United States that's, like, a major collector. I know a few guys. You know, I do know a few guys. But not compared to Japan. Like, essentially, Japan, everyone's obsessed with Western culture here. It's weird. We're obsessed with Japanese culture. How many kids, you know, wear anime T-shirts? Or, like, for example, in Mexico, Goku.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are obsessed with Goku? So it's weird, you know? That's what I said. I haven't been in international. I'd like to see what it's like looking at the United States from the outside.
Yeah.
In.
It's hard, man, because our perspective is just here. But
you can only just think of how blessed we are to be American citizens and born on this soil, you know? I'm very grateful. I know a lot of people now with, like, the social dynamic and political dynamic, you know, everyone's like, I'm no longer proud to be American, but... I mean, I guess us, since we're on the border and we see a lot of international, we're just like, oh, no. Like, we're blessed to be born on this land, for sure.
Yeah, man. This is we're here in a beautiful United States. And the ability to think that you don't like your country, it's even a freedom of yours that you get to carry.
That's the U.S., yeah.
That's the U.S., but at least...
Freedom of speech.
At least we get to, like... Freaking respect, like, all the stuff that's happened here, bro, in, like, the last 100 years.
100 years? Because the United States is young. We're, like, what? You celebrated the 200th anniversary, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. It was, like, in the 80s, right?
1776 is the first year, right, supposedly.
Yeah.
And then
1876.
The 100 year, 1876. And then 1976? I was born after that. 1976. 1978. Hey, I'm aging myself here. No, dude, but dude,
young country, yeah, for sure.
It's a young country, man, and like the, it's just crazy, man. Thinking about the mindset of somebody who's coming from another world or another country to like, let me go shop over there because this is gold for us over there. Like,
yeah,
we're gonna sell it to the right people who want it at a very pretty sure like decent price. It's not gonna be like easy money.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because you're flying it internationally to start out with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I always know. Everyone tells me, like, oh, but they're going to make more money. I'm like, of course.
You know what's funny, bro? That we buy from them, like the process, like heavy, I guess, like the... Let's say we buy T-shirts from over there to print out stuff over here.
Mm-hmm.
Made in China or Japan or whatever, like Eastern countries. And we buy masks, like new T-shirts, but to sell them here. And they buy our old stuff.
Sell them over there. Yeah, circle of life, huh?
Wow. Pretty interesting thought pattern right there.
Yeah, they admire quality. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's one thing the United States has been lacking. We don't value quality. We value just, like, new.
We value quantity, not quality.
I guess, yeah.
Like, even think about just food, you know, we value, like, oh, that's buffet? Go! You know, we don't value, like, that one expensive meal that's going to be amazing, you know, or, like, just...
Right.
It's crazy, but it's 'cause we're used to, like, paying top dollar for, like, the... Like the shittiest food, you know?
Yeah. I will say, I think the United States has good quality food. All the foreigners, sure, they tell me, they're just like, man, like,
y'all got some food, man.
Yeah, they're like, man, y'all got some good food.
Hey, especially in Laredo, bro.
Dude, all my Japanese guys, I'm always like, yo, what's your favorite restaurant in Texas? Nah. No, bro, all of them, Tacos from Stripes. I'm like, what?
No way.
Yeah, because they say there's some in Houston. There's some Stripes, like Laredo Taco Company in Houston. Fries. Yeah. And in San Antonio, Austin, there's a few already. And they're like, yeah, like Tacos from Stripes. Laredo Taco Company.
They like the tortillas and the big-ass taco, bro.
That one, a lot of them like Whataburger.
Whataburger.
They just, they always tell me, like, it's too much. They're like, this is, like, too much food. I'm like, yeah.
That's because they're not used to, like, the big portion meals, bro.
Correct. They do tell me that the food's cheaper over there, like ramen and sushi. Like, it's a lot cheaper, a lot better quality. Like, in that sense, you know, Japan kicks their ass. But they're just saying, like, in the sense of, like, meat, like, beef. And vegetables. Like, I have this one Japanese guy. When he comes to the United States, he takes pictures of, like, the HEB produce section. Because apparently they don't have those types of fruits and vegetables in Japan. I'm like, what? Like, he's taking pictures of strawberries. Of, like, how cheap they are. And I'm like, bro, that's $6. That's not cheap. And he's like, trust me, Japan, this is, like, regular strawberries. So, like...
Wow.
Like, he's talking about, like, the fresh, you know, not the frozen stuff. Yeah. You know, frozen, that's anywhere, but, like, the fresh. Like, they're appalled how fresh produce we get in all our grocery stores. Like all the time.
How do you guys do this?
Like, to them, that's why they say, United States. That's what they mean, food. United States is a rich country. Like, that's what they mean. Not so much, like, the people financially, but, like, what we have access to. Like, you just walk into an HEB right now and...
Dude, every HEB.
Yeah.
You go to any HEB, and it's going to have... a stockpile of freaking
whatever you need.
Good food everywhere.
Whether it's in season or not.
Yeah.
If it's not in season, obviously it's more expensive, but they got it. And I guess that's the blessing of living in North America. I feel like Mexico is the same thing. I feel like Mexico is also blessed in that sense. They have the produce.
They do, man. Shit, if you go to Nolaredo with $100, you'll come back with
tons
of...
You're rich. Yeah, you're a rich man.
But if you come here with $100, you'll probably have like a little small cart of food and you're like, what?
Yeah, so everyone, family members used to come back from Mexico, bring a bunch of shit.
Man, they still do that.
They still do that?
Yeah, not for me, but I know people who do that. Yeah,
yeah, that's what, like, I haven't done that, but when I was growing up, man, like a tia would come. She would come with everything.
Tenos carne asada para, you know, like for weeks and shit.
Yeah, man. They would bring like 1,000 mangoes, right?
Mangoes, de todo, wey, aguacates.
They would bring like 1,000 aguacates, 50,000 tortillas.
Fucking taco stripes.
Did you ever get those red sausage? Did you ever get sausage from a
car? Oh, yeah, they're different. They're different, bro. And it tastes better, too.
Yeah, it's like, why is the sausage red?
Like, super red. Not like the one that we have here, like, pinkish red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love living on the border, man. I've learned to embrace it, not hate it, unlike a lot of other people do.
I think
everyone will come around.
It should, bro, because I was one of those people. Mm. I was one of those people that, back in the days when I was right out of high school, like... Ah, screw Laredo. Screw Laredo. But now I'm like, dude, no, Laredo's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful community. It's an evolving community. I think we have a lot of talent here, bro. Like, as far as, like, mindset, people coming together and putting, like, a good plan to, like, let's elevate our city to another, to another level, bro. And I think we have the right people. Like, I think people are starting to wake up, like, dude, no, this is our little treasure, bro. We need to take care of it, you know? Like,
yeah.
And grow it because... Like, it's like anything, bro. The more you put attention to what you need, the more you're going to be able to supply that need and get better. And I'm seeing, like, even, like, the business that you've created, like, it's part of that, bro. Like, even tomorrow, you're going to have that thing, right, that cultivarte, isn't it?
Is it the caminarte?
Like, not tomorrow, on Friday.
Friday,
sorry.
Yeah, for Moonland, for the coffee shop. Yeah.
Like, I haven't gone to one. I need to go.
You need to go to Casa Ortiz. That's where we're at. That's where you need to go.
I need to go, bro. It's, like, stuff like this is growing, bro. I need more of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the historical aspect. I'm a very historical guy. We're in original Laredo right now. That's why I tell everyone when they come to my store, I'm like, you're in this is Laredo. Like here, you know, what's this? Saunders to, I would say, Arkansas.
All the way to,
like, just create a block all the way to maybe Market or, like, you know,
Market. Yeah, Market.
Yeah, create a block and then come back up this way.
That little square right there.
This is
Laredo. That's the real,
the original Laredo. Where the city started. I think once you go like Jaime Zapata Memorial, like where Los Presidentes is, like that by that's newish. Maybe built in the 90s, you know, maybe late 80s, but like the original heart of the city, it's like this little square, which is the zip code is 70040.
I just talked about to somebody about that. 78040.
Yeah. That's the zip code here. Yeah. Yeah. 78040, which is the
original zip code for
Laredo.
Wow. Yeah.
It's nice. I like the houses. I mean, unfortunately, the west side's a little bit ghetto.
Yeah. Or run down.
Run down. Like older. A lot of activity.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm like, whoa. I told him, I hope one day maybe that this neighborhood, it's getting there. If you drive around, you'll see like
they're remodeling
the corner houses. A lot of the corner houses are being remodeled into like big houses. You know, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like you drive through Cantarranas and like you look at the buildings, they're tirado, but they're beautiful.
They're beautiful, bro.
But they're tirado.
They're beautiful, man. I love downtown. I love downtown. I like going downtown area and
like where your brother used to have the shop.
Shit, I still drive every so often. I'll just drive through there. I'm like, bro, I need to buy one of these buildings.
My friend lives in that neighborhood. Yeah.
Even that's like nice. Just rent there or like buy there, that'd be awesome, bro.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
How big and the houses, the way they were made. Because my family, we're from Market Street. Mm-hmm. You know, Heights Elementary, yeah. Tennis courts, we're all. And my brother, his new wife, she lives right there too. So it's like, man, you married into the neighborhood. Like, and all those houses are big, like plots. So like I said, like one city block is two houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about it, I'm like, man, this is old money. Like in Laredo, this was probably someone who was like.
Ballin', bro.
Because you go to La Azteca, which is only like. 6 blocks away
and it's small,
like little casitas
back to back,
nice but chiquito, and it, like
yes, yeah. Very if you go to Noladero, that's what you see in downtown.
It's exactly
Noladero.
Like
exactly.
It's exactly like Noladero. Yeah. Yeah, I grew up semi in La Azteca. That was like my little neighborhood. Azteca, Cantarranas, and then obviously, you know, the south side. But yeah, those neighborhoods growing up there was crazy, man. Fun times before the cell phones, you'd knock on, hey, puede salir Juanito.
I remember those days.
Nada más que no se meten en travesuras.
And that's it.
Y regresan antes que se prenden las luces del.
Nah,
del
ciudad. And you guys would come back like right before sundown.
Right.
Or after sundown. Also.
Also.
Tomás estaba, amigo, sí, de la manguera de aquella, la casa.
Or was it, don't go far.
Don't go far. Yeah.
We went far.
They said don't go far. You were like 30 blocks away, bro.
Yeah, yeah, we're on the other side of town.
And
yeah.
Then you try to figure out how to get back, you know, and go through the little shortcuts and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But one thing we never did, I never did San Bernardo. Like, I never cruised it.
No
like,
way.
No, that's what I'm saying. Stop, like, they told me it stopped, like, in the year 2001.
They stopped doing that, like, in 2002, 2001. 2002? Yeah.
See, I was in, like, third grade. Like,
they stopped it because it would just get out of hand, way.
Yeah, that's what they were telling me.
And, like, it was fun, though, bro. It was fun. Cruising, yeah. Like, people were drinking. It was park. And just, like listen to your music.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good vibe, bro.
So, would you guys come from the south side?
Yeah,
to come. To
we would go to Southside and we would just drive around with my homies or with my cousins.
And y'all would come here on Sundays or
when was Sundays?
When was the day to come?
On Sundays, bro. Sundays.
Why Sundays?
I don't know.
After church or what? Or
no, on Sundays. Ya en la tarde, güey.
Yeah, yeah, like sundown, right?
Like right at 6:37, then people start showing up when the sun goes down at 7 o'clock, 8. It was packed. Everybody washing their cars and start driving around San Bernardo, and then like they would kick us out of there. And we would drive all the way to Malinche and Bartlett became our, Nixon, the Nixon area.
You would go down all the way to, like, where the Denny's is now, right?
Yeah. And then come around.
Someone told me that, too.
And then come around like that and go Bartlett and back and forth. And it was a fun time, bro. Like, there was it wasn't that many fights, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It was more like just a lot of traffic and the cops were like, hey, bro, something's going to happen. We got to kick these people out.
Yeah.
So they would start kicking y'all, like, at 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Close to 12. They're like, yeah, y'all had your fun. Now get the fuck out of here. And then we go to Malinche and another 30 minutes there chilling, driving around, parking, and then vámonos.
Then you would what, take metal back to Southside?
Yeah, no, we would go Taco Palenque and then eat the old one. No, Guadalupe didn't exist yet. San Bernardo, the OG one. Yeah.
You know it's closed now.
Yeah, not that one. We used to go to the other one. The one,
I don't know that one.
The one in San Bernardo that's actually right here, close by.
Oh, the one where everyone fights at? The one in Burlington?
Yeah, the one in Burlington. We used to go there.
Would people fight there too back then?
But not as much.
But it was always like senores, right? Like, it was always like older guys.
Like at 3, 4 in the morning, apasamos chingazos. But like before that, it was just chilling. Like we just get food, everybody's there chilling, everybody's hanging out with their crews and shit. And you just leave, bro. It wasn't that bad. And then, we would come back and go down to Metal, and then that Metal would take you to the back street.
Was that a thing back then?
That was a thing. That Metal was a thing, or you would go straight down Guadalupe all the way down to Zapata Highway.
Right. I just feel like Metal is goated. Like, if you're from the south side, if you know, that's like the number one question, like gun to your head, it's like, what's the street to take you to the south?
Metal.
You better say Metal.
You
say Zapata, it's like,
bro, that was my go-to street going to LC every fucking morning, bro. I would go to LC, and then there was no other route to get there, bro. Like, you had to go actually through there or Guadalupe, and both were stacked with traffic. But I knew my little ins and outs out of Meadow. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, and then you would cut through, what's that neighborhood called? Where Slaughter Park is? Chacon?
Chacon.
Would you cut through Chacon?
Sometimes. Yeah, on the way back, yeah. I would cut through there, through the streets. Yeah. And then before Slaughter Park was there, I would go through mm-hmm. there, those streets.
Yeah.
It was a fast route. The, yeah. There were stop signs, but there was a fast route.
Yeah, yeah. But the train was there, you were screwed.
Yeah, the train was there, bro. Chinga. Chinga, bro. How do you get out of this,
Laredo shit, bro.
Yeah,
because whenever I visit Dallas, the neighborhood, you know, it's like my second home, Oak Cliff. I hang out with a bunch of like OG guys, you know, guys like 40 plus. And I hear their conversation and it's all about stuff like that. I'm like, man, Laredo, like, I wonder how it was back then. Like, I don't know. No one talks about it anymore.
Yeah, but, we need to talk about it.
But man. For me, I know growing up in the South Side also, like, Meadow.
Meadow
was
man.
The one. Was the Mami Chulas always there? Or what was there?
I don't know. That shit
what was there before? Just nothing?
Actually, there was nothing there, bro. For the longest time, it was nothing there.
Empty.
It was. I mean, there was a building there, but siempre estaba vacant, no tenía nada. And I remember when that guy opened up, there was like a drive-thru for a while. Mm. And then it became that, like Mami Chula's and all that stuff.
That was like peak. that was peak ratchet culture.
Yeah,
like,
and then
as we knew, Southside was getting bad.
Yeah, it's like getting bad. No, that's out of time, man. Yeah.
What about the pizza on Pine? Was that one always there?
Dude, I've been there for the longest time, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to go there since I was a kid, bro.
Is it true that the HEB was pushed closer to the river back in the day?
Yeah.
See, I never witnessed that.
Yeah, I remember the HEB wasn't like the way in the south, it was mm-hmm. way different than
it was
the way
more it was, towards the river?
So yeah. Then, it was like the other way around. I can't remember how exactly it looked, but it wasn't that. It isn't what it is right now. Mm-hmm. It was way different. And no, actually, let me tell you why. Because even before that HEB way, we had to go to a Guadalupe one in the 80s.
Why?
There was no HEB there.
Mm. So also, the Guadalupe one's been around that long.
The Guadalupe was our nearest HEB for the South Side. Like, we had to drive Meadow.
That's far.
Or all Guadalupe to get our HEB, bro, and then come back. But then the traffic wasn't as bad back in the days.
Yeah, right. It wasn't.
It wasn't like right now. Like, it was like.
Yeah, but to walk that, that's like.
No, but we'd drive.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Like, to walk that is like, whoa, that's a long walk.
We would go to that HEB. We go to the downtown HEB.
I miss the downtown HEB so much.
Yeah, now they're going to remodel it to, like, the sheriff's.
It's like the sheriff's, yeah. Yeah, whenever I saw San Antonio post, we have the first two-story HEB. I was like, cat. Laredo had it.
We had it, bro.
We had that, like, way before y'all
even. The 80s, bro. Yeah. 80s and
90s. Yeah. You remember you would park the car and you'd get your car and put on the elevator? And then you'd get
off. I did that a couple of times. My mom had a store downtown, so we would go a lot. To that HEB for a long time.
It always felt like you were in New York, right? Like, where everyone was waiting outside.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, traffic, but everyone had, like, groceries and stuff.
See.
That always made me feel like I was in, like,
a big metropolitan city.
Yeah, because everyone was walking back then, and
it was just a lot of traffic.
Downtown was so amazing growing up. I think maybe my generation was the last one to see it. Like, yeah, we saw it die. Like, the new generations, they've never seen it alive, like... Like, I remember Christmas shopping. Remember Christmas shopping downtown?
Downtown, bro.
That was the shit.
Dude, that was, like, the best. Because you go with, like, $100, you buy tons of shit, bro. Yeah.
All the bootleg China toys, too,
All the bootleg China toys. Hey, mijo, cómprale este para que el primito y pinches chingo de carrito, güey.
It was always a lot of Chinese people, right, working the stores?
Yeah, but they were their owners,
They were the owners,
They had a lot of owners, a lot of Asian owners from, and also a lot of Indian owners. But, dude, they had tons of shit, bro, for, like, affordable prices,
Affordable,
and, like, shoes, and, I mean, I would go to Samson's and look at the Jordans and shit.
Dude, Samson's is still there, bro.
I know.
Yeah, they're cool. One of the owner's sons, I think, he buys coffee. He bought coffee from us.
No way, bro. Shout out to Samson's, bro.
Yeah, he's a real cool dude.
Samson was, like, my go-to to go look at the Jordans, because I would never buy them. I would just go look at them, bro. Like,
he has the signed jerseys.
Jordans,
I think he has Jordans, Scotties, and... Rodman's jersey signed.
No way, bro.
Yeah, hung up there. He just added one. He just added Jokic from the Nuggets. He just added his jersey and Ronaldo.
Cristiano
signed, Ronaldo. Yeah, he added it to the wall.
I gotta go check that out.
Yeah, bro. You don't follow him on Facebook?
No, I got
you. Should to. Yeah. You should. Samson's Laredo.
Samson's Laredo. OG mm-hmm. OG story. One of the OGs still going on, bro.
What do you remember? Cyros?
Yeah, Cyros. Yeah,
right. Yeah, they're still around too, I think.
They are, for real?
Yeah. Downtown. Yeah.
They're in the same area, right? Like, not in the same store, but like the same.
I think Cyros is still around.
Wow.
I hope they are. They're pretty cool. I got to meet the owners. They've been in Laredo forever. They said they used to be where Toys R Us used to be.
Shit, I don't remember about that, bro.
I
don't remember Toys R Us in downtown.
No. They said it over here.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, they said they used to be where Toys R Us used to be. Or something like that.
Shit, I don't remember. I don't remember, but I remember, like, I remember Toys R Us. Chingada, it's crazy, man. But no, nah, man.
The River Center Mall, I don't remember it. I was too young.
River Drive Mall.
River Drive. There you go. River Drive Mall.
Oh, my mom had a store in River Drive Mall.
Really?
And then, like, they moved the store from River Drive Mall. Like, after 2 years, they moved it into the downtown. Like, as soon as you go up the... Back in the days, there was an elevator from the first floor of the River Drive Mall to second floor.
Okay.
And the second floor, there was a store named called Wiener's. Mm. Chafo, yeah. That's where I bought my clothes. Uh-huh. And then after Wiener's, you get out of the Wiener's, bro, and then right across the street, that was my mom's store. She had a Fashion Report. She would sell, like, clothing, like, women's clothing for, like, events and shit, like, parties and stuff. And we would always be there, bro. Freaking Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'd be there. And we'd be there from the early in the morning, like, walking around downtown and, like, come back and, like, let's sell Cokes, soda pops. We sell them for, like, 50 cents or a dollar. Like, we'll make money back.
Yeah, make money, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be me and my brothers, Jeff and Rick, selling Cokes and then helping out my mom clean, like, and all right. stuff, set up the dresses and shit. It was fun, man, back in the days.
Yeah, and a lot of people went to the mall?
Dude, that mall was packed, bro.
Really? So why'd they close it? For Mall del Norte?
It's because I think when the dollar devalued, a lot of people left downtown. That happened to my mom's store. So we left the downtown because we couldn't afford to pay the bills anymore. Like, people weren't coming from Nolareo to buy the mom's, like material, like her inventory.
Right.
So we started losing. I started seeing that a lot of the stores downtown started closing, bro. Mm-hmm. So there was less traffic for River Drive Mall. It kept on, like, riding the course, bro, for a while until, like, eventually, I think it was, like, maybe, like, early 2000s. Yeah, boom.
Yeah.
They closed it. Because even before that, like, I remember my wife was new to Laredo, and I would take her to River Drive Mall to check it out. It was kind of empty. We would walk around. We just knew, like, there was the downtown the vibe, and then you go downstairs, you go to all the stores there, you get the escalator, and then there was a food court, and there's several stores, like big stores, and then they started dying down, all of them, boom, yeah. boom, boom, boom.
From the pictures, it looks kind of spooky. Like, there wasn't a lot of windows.
No.
It looked like almost like a parking garage.
It looked like if you look ever, like, at the back rooms kind of vibe, that's the kind
yeah.
of, that's the
yeah,
kind
yeah. of, right. There you go, back rooms.
The back rooms way.
Yeah, because, like, I don't remember it.
But it was fun, man, it was fun. Like, they had a parking lot in the very top. You're parking the top, and then walk in the elevators or escalators and go down and go to the different stores. And it was fun, man. I liked it. It had a McDonald's and everything.
Really? And then, so all those major stores just moved to
Mall del Norte? Yeah.
But was Mall del Norte always there, or it got
closed? Did I remember? It was always there when I got here, like, in the 80s. It was already there, but...
It was, like, the more bougier mall?
It was a bougie mall, bro. I guess, like, it was newer. It was, like, I mean, it's still, like, very similar to the point it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But then got, like...
It's beautiful architecturally.
And then they started making it more, I guess, more modern. Because it was 80s vibe, and then it started changing into, like the 2000s vibe. Right. Like, very white, like, a lot of lighting from outdoors. And
yeah, the new millennium. Yeah, it's very beautiful. Yeah, the architectural.
So, yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, because I don't remember the river.
Man, River Drive Mall was amazing, bro. We should have gone there. Yeah. I actually shot a film there.
Really?
Yeah.
You shot a film there?
Yeah, we do, like, crazy antics, like... So I would do, like, experimental films. So we would record, like, different scenes from downtown and the mall and shit. And we would be wearing masks and shit. And I was the director. It was me, Jeff, my cousins. And I was always behind the camera. I was like, I'm not going to be on camera.
Yeah.
So I'd record these guys, do all kinds of shots there in the downtown district. And then we would go to the mall, River Drive Mall, and record there. And it's all, like, on a VC, not a VCR, but one of those handheld cameras.
Yeah.
And I still have the footage, bro.
It was all tape, bro.
And this is before digital, so we go home and, like, put music to it.
Right.
So I would record from that tape. I would record to another tape on a VHS, and then I would use audio from my speakers or my actual radio. Let's say I wanted to play Radiohead to a song. I'll put a Radiohead CD, play it, and record the audio into the new VHS tape with the recording that I had from the handheld camera. So I'll record the video there and the audio from my stereo. And it became, like, a whole new thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I have some of those. Yeah. I still have some of those VHS players, bro. So you can check them out one of these days. Don't go mad.
Yeah.
It's trippy. Crazy. It's trippy.
That's cool. Y'all were already making movies back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was all about making movies. I started, like, 11 years old, bro, recording movies and shit.
We got to make it happen, bro. Yeah. I'm trying to write a screenplay. Yeah, I'm trying to just, like, have it all. Cause, you know, I want it to be to the point, like, when we start... You know, like, action, we have like everything down. Like, ready. There's no last minute, like, well, we should do this. Like,
no,
we're coming with the vision, and we're here to capture this vision. And
you're not working on the fly, like,
want it to be, like,
let me know, bro.
Ready to go.
I'm down to help out. Whatever.
For sure, I wanted to be shot in downtown Laredo. Like, I don't know, man. Like, you just go there. And it's like,
inspirational.
It's very inspirational. It's sad at the same time, but that's like the duality of man. You know, like the happiness mixed with the sadness. You know,
mm-hmm.
You gotta have both.
Exactly.
At downtown, you get that real quick.
I'm gonna cut it down a little bit. I'm already past that.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, we're gonna wrap it up because I gotta go. But
30-minute mark.
30-minute mark. Any last words, bro, before we wrap it up?
Can't wait to do it again, bro.
Let's do it again, man.
For sure.
Shout outs to Gabriel and his squad. I know Louie and Kix and everybody who participates with the Moon Lane and also with Val's. What do you call it? Val's Vintage? Yeah. Val's Vintage. Bro, y'all should come down and check it out. You know? It's like a beautiful, beautiful clothing, beautiful everything that he has here, bro. Like amazing cameras, old stuff. It just take you back. This jacket that's in front of me, it says from the what?
40s?
Yeah. 40, bro. If you're gonna, how much does it cost?
I just have it for $100.
$100?
Yeah.
Come and get it. Straight from the war. Hey, this is another episode from the Infinite Talks podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, subscribe for $1 a month, bro. $1 a month, you can subscribe to the podcast and be one of the frequency builders. And then also on top of that, remember, we're not a brand. We're a frequency.
Cool.
Let's go.
Let's go.